Navy reservist opens fire in a Navy yard in Washington, D.C., and that's what the nation is mourning this time around. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, welcome to this edition of America Tonight. Sad to report once again, we're hopping on with some grim news. In case you haven't heard it, and by now you probably have, and you've talked about it with your neighbors or the guy pumping gas next to you or at the water cooler when you were working. The SWAT teams descended. Anybody with a vest and a gun and a badge all went to the Navy Yard. They were there within 7 minutes, they believe, of the first pop-pop sound of Aaron Alexis, who was opening fire at a Washington Navy Yard that you would think would be pretty secure. 13 people dead, well, 12, and he was ultimately taken out, and 8 others plus injured. Here's the thing. He had Navy clearance. He's had a military ID for as a civilian, using that to work in the Navy Yard. He was contracted. He had a history of problems with the Navy and was arrested for 2 past shootings, 2 shooting incidents. So nothing in terror databases was his name, but there was definitely problems with him in the past. So now we have a Navy Yard attack. How did he avoid security? How is that possible? For goodness sake. In our nation's capital, in a huge and important piece of real estate, I'll call it, we don't have tight enough security? Wow. That's stunning. When I first saw a little blip of a headline about the Navy Yard, I wasn't thinking that it was in Washington. I was thinking it was somewhere else. So this guy was a naval reservist from 2007 to 2011 in Fort Worth, Texas. He ends up in Washington, D.C., and he has problems. And if you go through his history, he has problems. So are we not vetting contracted people enough? Is that what's happening? Hiring companies to do work, and then their people aren't vetted out closely enough? More and more things will emerge about him, trust me. I mean, here's a guy not even 35 years old. And all you can do is say, you sympathize for the families, you pray for the families. Because one death means how many people are they connected to? How many of them were grandparents and parents and aunts and uncles, and really there were a lot of older people, late 40s into their 70s. So there had to be some that were getting ready to retire and some that were there finishing things out too. And this is a guy who friends say converted to Buddhism but was arrested in Fort Worth in 2010 because he shot a gun into his neighbor's apartment, and the person was terrified, of course. He was arrested long before that in 2004 in Seattle for shooting at the tires of a construction worker's car because he was upset. And he told the Seattle police he witnessed the September 11, 2001 terror attack, and the events disturbed him and made him feel like he was suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. A lot of crazy stories starting to see the light of day. Now what happens? Where do we go from here? So he got into a firefight with the cops that were on the scene, and that's it. What made him do this? What was it that drove him? What was the motivation for this? And even his time of service, He was an aviation electrician's mate called, what the classification would be, third class AE-3. So he was in Texas. He was in Illinois. He left the service in 2011. Why he left or what happened, all those details are murky now at this point. Then you hear the people saying, oh, he's a nice guy. He was a Buddhist. He was calm. He wasn't like this. Ugh. There were no telltale signs. But tell that to the families of the 12 dead people. Or how about the other people who have had surgeries, multiple surgeries, because they were shot and they're surviving. That's the good news. But, boy, it's scary. Very scary. So that's one thing we'll talk about in this hour of America Tonight. Also, coming up, we're going to have a conversation with Ray McGovern, former CIA analyst who spent time briefing presidents. He has a much different take on what we're seeing in Syria and takes a hard line and a big slam on the Secretary of State, John Kerry, laying some of this in his lap and saying what we're seeing here clearly by not definitively hearing certain things from the administration is an agenda. So what's the agenda? And why don't we know some of the details that would make a difference with the chemical weapons? Which, by the way, a 50-page chemical weapons inspection report, the UN came out with it on Monday. They went to five different sites, didn't have a lot of time. Some of the information that they found was sparse, but clearly it showed there was sarin gas that was used. So now where are we at? Well, we're at a situation now at this point where it's gathering up of the chemical weapons. That's the agreement. While the civil war continues to rage on. Although there was a little bit of a ceasefire as the UN inspectors made their way through the areas they needed to inspect after already having been shot at. And then right at the top, here's one, a blast from the past. I bet you forgot all about the Costa Concordia. Remember the ship in Italy, the cruise ship that capsized, that was shipwrecked, that was crippled. Finally, it's up. It was on its side for a very long time. And the operation to pull it up worked. This happened in January of 2012 when the Costa Concordia slammed into a reef off of a small town in Italy, off of those waters there. So how about that? They think they can float it away in the spring and turn it into scrap. Patience, I'll tell you. Patience. All right, stay with us. Ray McGovern on the flip side.
Heart and Body Extract continues to receive positive testimonials from people who have experienced amazing results, like Reed.
I just wanted to send you a quick but a very big thank you for Heart and Body Extract. I've been on the formula for nearly a month now, and the improvement in the circulation of my legs has been simply amazing.
Reed was facing a tough choice.
I was facing surgery due to the severity of the 100% blocked arteries in both my legs. And my decision, waiting for surgery, to say no and try Heart and Body Extract instead has been thankfully the right decision.
And the result?
I can now walk up steps without noticeable pain.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, for a long and healthy life.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
We've been talking about the situation in Syria with the UN's chemical weapons report being released. And he's in the wings right now in our virtual green room, veteran CIA analyst Ray McGovern, who says that here's the deal with all of this. I'm going to let him flush it out for you. That why, when we know what's going on with the Assad regime, why is it that we're dancing around in circles with all of this? And certainly as somebody who's a veteran CIA analyst, he knows, he's seen all this stuff come in and out of the door, and he's been a guy who's briefed presidents. And he also, by the way, is the co-founder of Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. I love that. And he just had a piece in the Miami Herald, and it was the op-ed piece was to persuade skeptics about Syria, Obama should follow Reagan's example. Hey, thanks so much for popping on the show. We certainly appreciate your time, Ray.
You're most welcome.
So the headline in that op-ed was brilliant, by the way. So Obama certainly didn't follow Reagan's example. What did you mean by that?
Well, you know, there's precedent for releasing very sensitive information for higher state purposes. What I was referring to was an incident, a terrible incident that happened when I was on active duty, so to speak, as a CIA analyst. What happened was there was a terrible bombing in Berlin of a discotheque frequently by U.S. service people. And two U.S. soldiers were killed. Several, a score, were injured. And all told, there were about 230 people severely injured. Now, we found out, because we had been intercepting Libyan communications, that this was a Libyan operation. And we told the president that, and he said, damn, you know, he was not pleased. So what he did, this was the 5th of April when this happened, 1986. What he did was he told his Secretary of Defense, Caspar Weinberger, get those aircraft ready. We're going to bomb the hell out of Gaddafi's palace, and we'll hit Benghazi as well while we're at it, and we'll get that guy. We'll get him, okay? Now, they did that 10 days later, on the 15th of April, and succeeded in killing not Gaddafi, but his 15-month-old little daughter, and severely wounding his three-year-old youngest son, and killing a whole bunch of civilians in the process, leveling the palace, but you know, Gaddafi knew where to hide. Now, one has to realize that before 9/11, people actually cared about little kids being killed.
Mm.
And no, they really did. Yeah, the younger set, you know, might not figure that, but people really got irate about all this. And they said, well, you know, Reagan, you're pretty quick on the draw, you know? You shoot from the hip again. We know that you hate Gaddafi, so you just use it. How do you know? How you show us, you know, show us the evidence that the Libyans did this thing in Berlin. And so the president came to us and he said, okay, let me see that message again. So we showed him the message and it said, operation successful, 1:30 this morning. And the best thing is no one will ever know it was us. So we gave that to the president and he said, okay, well, I want you to release this. And we said, of course, no, you don't understand. The Libyans don't know that we intercept their messages, and they certainly don't know that we can decrypt them, so we'd be sacrificing a major source here. No, we can't do that. And Reagan, to his great credit, said, do it. Do it anyway. I don't care. And we did. And he came off. Public opinion turned around. Now, and I have to hasten to add that, you know, I think I don't defend what Reagan chose, how he chose to react, but at least the world public opinion kind of calmed down. And I have to say that Reagan showed a decent respect for the opinions of mankind. Now, why do I mention that? Because it's a perfect analogy to what should happen now. That's why I wrote that op-ed. That's why I wanted to get it in a prominent newspaper. And there's been no reaction, of course. I never get any reaction from the government. But the argument, I think, is solid. If, as the administration claims, they have proof that Bashar al-Assad ordered that chemical event there outside of Damascus, they really ought to show us the meat. You know, where's the meat? Show us the evidence, just as Ronald Reagan did. And there are all kinds of accounts of that message, and some who claim to know about it say, well, no, you know, it wasn't that Bashar al-Assad was shown to know about. No, it was lower-level Syrian army officers saying, hey, you know what just happened? Did somebody order a chemical attack? Did you know what went down here? Somebody's got to tell Damascus about it. So we've got two very, very different versions of this intercepted message. The prescription for success, if the administration wants to sell its case that Assad was indeed responsible for this and that this proves it, release it. And each day that goes by without them releasing it makes me more and more suspicious that the evidence that was adduced to claim that, as they said, this evil dictator gassed his own people. Does that bring memories back? I used to say that about Saddam Hussein. My point is that the evidence that was adduced before Saddam Hussein, that he had weapons of mass destruction before we invaded there, well, that was fraudulent. People think because President Bush said it was mistaken, that it was mistaken. But I know it was fraudulent, and so does Senator Rockefeller, who was chair of the Senate Intelligence Committee when a 5-year study was completed by his committee, and he announced, and I quote, the pre-war intelligence on Iraq was unsubstantiated, comma, contradicted, comma, or even non-existent, period, end quote. Now I ask you, what do you think non-existent intelligence looks like? Forgeries, maybe?
Yeah,
things made out of whole cloth. Well, that's what went down before Iraq, and so you know you would think that Obama would have the same decent respect for the opinions of mankind and for the rest of us, particularly Americans, to release that message so that we can see this time. And I'm quite willing to believe. I mean, Assad is he's no saint. He's
right.
Quite capable of doing that. But there's quite a different, big gap between saying somebody's capable of doing that and that he did it, particularly when the incentive for a chemical strike was not with Assad. It was with the people who are opposing him because they knew that once that happened, the President of the United States would order his forces in on the side of them and not on the side of Assad.
Yeah, and you know this, Vladimir Putin, you know, the Russian president, is jumping up and down saying that it's not Assad, it's not Assad. And so that placed some doubt for the rest of the world. There were people that were skeptical about it. So you would think that, you know, partially too with what you've said, that why not just jump into this, because this administration said we're going to be the most transparent. So why not just release it?
Yeah. Well, Alan Grayson, the congressman from Florida, braced Secretary Hagel, Secretary of Defense Chuck Hagel, a week ago. And he said, Secretary, you know there's a big dispute about what that message says. Will you be able to release that sometime soon? And Hagel said, what message?
Oh, yeah.
So he explained what it was all about, but there's been no movement on that. So sure, you know, that's what really needs to happen. Now, I think one reason that the administration doesn't release it is because it does not say what they say, what they claimed it said, and also they can't doctor it. They can't, you know, fool around with it, because the Russians probably have the same intercept. And Putin is saying just the opposite, of course, that it wasn't Assad, it was the rebels. And right now they've got a kind of deal worked out, which is a very, very hopeful thing. I mean, this whole thing is going to be resolved without people being killed, hopefully. And so I don't want to muck up the works right now, but I think it's important for Americans to understand that they still can't believe what, for example, our Secretary of State, John Kerry, said on the 30th of August in that long press conference where he made this speech. And guess how many times he said, we know, we know, we know, 35 times.
Yeah.
So, you know, you say it 35 times, so you expect maybe people will think that you really know. But I'm from Missouri. I want to see the proof, because the incentive, as I said, was on the rebel side. And this business about the rebels not having sarin gas, it's too complicated to make and all that stuff. Well, give me a break. In 1995, a ragtag group of Japanese terrorists put sarin use in the Tokyo subway. People remember that. Now, did they get that from some government stocks? I don't think so. Mm-mm. Sarin is not that difficult to manufacture.
Yeah. Hang on a second. We're going to continue our conversation with CIA analyst Ray McGovern. He spent a lot of time with the president in his past, obviously, with briefings and whatnot. And we're going to continue that on the flip side here on America Tonight.
Weakened by GMOs, stressed out about money, and blasted by the electric environment. Hi, I'm Pastor Jenny, and that was the state I was in back in 2010. Then I learned about RNA drops. I learned that 97% of my DNA that scientists have called junk is actually packed with millions of gene switches that play a critical role in controlling how my cells, organs, and other tissues behave. I learned I don't have to put up with disease, decay, or decline like I'd been conditioned to believe. I began taking RNA drops, a 100% natural formula designed to turn on those switches and provide me with amazing health and joy. Learn more about RNA drops and order a free sample today. Visit rnafreesample.com. That's rnafreesample.com. Or call toll-free 888-577-3703. Pay only shipping and handling for a free 30-day supply of RNA drops. Get the information you need and the health you want at rnafreesample.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
It's hurricane and wildfire season again. Why do thousands of people sit in these reoccurring problem areas year after year, betting their lives that the disaster won't get them? Hundreds of you help eFoods Direct ship 50,000 donated meals to the Oklahoma victims. The problem is we can't help everybody. If every one of us who can will take care of ourselves, we can all pitch in to take care of those who really can't. The new Justin Case Pack from eFoods Direct is the big brother to the 7-day emergency pack designed for Oklahoma disaster donations. It contains a 2-month supply for one person, or a 1-month supply for two adults, or a 2-week supply for a family of four. The $320 price is $50 less than retail. Call 800-409-5633 on the web eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Order two or more, get 10% off, free shipping applies. Call 800-409-5633. 609-5633, on the web, efoodsdirect.com/Alex.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy 3 Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
A healthy digestive system supports a healthy immune system. And a healthy immune system protects you against infections and disease. Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse, available at Terraganics.com, is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic and is gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM1 contains 3 groups of beneficial microbes and enzymes to cleanse and remove toxins, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, and aids in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, is non-GMO, has all natural certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is never freeze-dried. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com. TerraGanix.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM1, the raw probiotic.
Conversation with Ray, and you know, Ray, it's interesting. You talked about when we first opened up. You talked about Reagan, and you gave the great example of how he felt, and he was pushing to release information, the communique that was intercepted and whatnot. And this was way back in 1986. Do you think that we're going to see this trend with not just the Obama administration, but future administrations? Is there more of that trend towards secrecy, toward not releasing it, toward not showing the proof? For what reason? Because it makes us skeptical that it's not really there.
Yeah, I think that may be the reason. I hate to say that, you know, but I've been around long enough that trust me doesn't do it for me anymore. Particularly when you have, you know, the director of national intelligence, James Clapper, is a self-confessed perjurer. He lied under oath to the Senate when he was asked, does NSA eavesdrop on American telephone conversations? He said, no, sir. And they had to come back and he said, well, what I said was clearly erroneous, but it was the least untruthful thing that I could say. Now, that's all on the record. You can see it on TV. And this guy is still head of the national intelligence apparatus of our government, the highest intelligence official reporting directly to the president.
Yeah.
And at the CIA, his fellow named John Brennan, he's the guy that claimed 2 years ago that in all the drone strikes in Pakistan for the previous year, not one collateral death ensued. Not one citizen was killed. You know, the reporters laughed him out of the room. It's ridiculous. People are counting. People on the ground know how many people. So what I'm saying here is that the credibility of the people he has working for him is not real high. Now, what are the reasons that they would adduce to say, well, we can't release this information? Well, one is, you know, they would argue, oh, we don't want the Syrians to know that we're eavesdropping on them. Well, hello, I'm sure they'll be really, really shocked. I mean, for them to be shocked would have to mean that they didn't read a newspaper or watch TV for the last 4 months when all these disclosures about the incredible capabilities of NSA to monitor this, that, and everything, including Syrian communication. So it's not as though Syrians would be shocked. And as for the information itself, it's already out there in the public domain.
Yeah.
The issue or the substance of the conversation, there are two versions, to be sure, but there is absolutely no, unlike what Reagan did, there's very little danger to compromising sources and methods this time. And, you know, it's a sad thing to say, but I think that John Kerry has this little thing about punishing Assad, whether he did it or not. Kerry, of course, spent as much time in Israel as he spent anywhere else for the last couple of months, ostensibly to talk about solving the Palestine problem. But you know what? I suspect he was talking to his bosom buddy, Bibi Netanyahu, the Israeli prime minister, about Syria. They wanted to get rid of Syria. They wanted to get rid of Bashar al-Assad. And they wanted to keep the pot boiling. You see, the only country, well, there are three countries that think they would benefit from keeping the struggle going. Turkey and Saudi Arabia really would like to have the Sunni, which are the majority in Syria, and knock out the Alawites, which is the faction of the Shia part of Islam that Assad belongs to. They'd like to do that. Israelis, you know, they'd just like to see the pot boil, because as long as the Shia and Sunnis are at each other's throat, not only in Syria, mind you, but throughout the whole region, you know, they're not going to be turning their guns on Israel anytime soon. And again, you don't have to take my word for this. The New York Times, this is really interesting, the Times would carry this report. Their correspondents in Jerusalem on the 30th of August reported that she had taken great pains to consult with all manner of senior Israeli officials. And her question was, you know, what's your preferred outcome? What would Israel like to see the outcome in Syria be? And the answer from all of them, she said, was, well, our preferred outcome is no outcome. And she said,
What?
Can you explain that? And they said they were quite candid. They said, look, as long as the Shia and Sunni are at each other's throats, we profit. And as long as this, you know, doesn't, as long as the really bad guys like Al-Qaeda don't get the upper hand, then, you know, we're sitting pretty. And that, of course, is why they wanted the U.S. into the equation, because there's really no guarantee that Al-Qaeda and Al-Nusra, now the really bad guys, may not prevail. But once the U.S. was in, then that's sort of an extra special insurance that would not happen. So that was the name of the game. They wanted to mousetrap us in there. And what was really interesting is what Kerry did as soon as he concluded the agreement with his counterpart, Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov. He tooled off to Tel Aviv to try to hold Bibi Netanyahu's hand and say, this is going to be all right. Don't worry about it. We're not leaving you in the lurch. So we just thought that we ought to get chemical weapons out of Syria's hands. And one would think that the Israelis would be delighted about that. But there's a big, big danger here, because somebody's going to think to say, hey, here's an idea. Let's get all the chemical weapons out of the Middle East and all the weapons of mass destruction. And then the finger's going to point right at Israel, because they have a sizable chemical warfare capability. And, of course, the thing that the president and anybody else would never even mention is their 200, 300, 400, we don't know exactly how many, mm-hmm. nuclear weapons deliverable by sea, by under the sea, by aircraft, and by missile. So once you get into, you know, really making a nuclear and chemical and biological free area of the Middle East, Well, the Israelis won't want any part of that because they have the monopoly. They'd like to keep it.
Yeah. In all the years that you did this, Ray, as the stuff that you were analyzing, things that were coming in and conversations that you had, and up to now where we are, what do you think the American people should be the most concerned about? Because you saw things that definitely still didn't see the light of day.
Yeah. Well, the newspapers today were extending this calculus to Iran. Now, Israel would clearly like us to give Iran the same kind of bloody nose that we gave Iraq. They would like us to destroy the infrastructure in Iran on the pretext that Iran is working on a nuclear weapon. I have to tell you that Iran is not working on a nuclear weapon. And my colleagues, the honest ones, got together in the intelligence community in 2007, did a whole year of bottom-up assessment and concluded that Iran stopped working on a nuclear weapon. Now, we're not talking about nuclear power plants. We're talking about a nuclear weapon at the end of 2003 and did not resume that activity. That judgment has been reaffirmed and rearticulated every year since, as recently as March of this year, by the intelligence community with high confidence and unanimously. So this notion that is spread around by the New York Times and Israeli diplomats that Iran could get a nuclear weapon, that's a very noxious thing because it has everybody afraid. And what I'm afraid now is that the Israelis will try to extract some kind of concession from the United States as a sort of a gift so they don't bollocks up the agreement between the Russians and the Syrians, and that could mean rattling some sabers in the direction of Iran, because the folks who control the media here, the folks who largely control the foreign policy, I know that Secretary of State John Kerry and Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli Prime Minister, are very, very close indeed. And I guess I'd just finish by saying, you know, this is not a new problem. George Washington, who was not only our first president, but, a general, he warned in his farewell address against what he called entangling alliances and passionate attachments of one country, our own, to the interests of another country as though the interests of each were identical. They're not identical. In those days, of course, France had helped us out with the revolution. France was engaged in another war with Great Britain. And the people say, oh, we ought to help the French out, you know, because, you know, they helped us out. And Washington said, no, that's not the way you do it. You make these decisions based on your own national interests and do not think ever that your own nationalists are synonymous with those of another country, like France in this example and like Israel in the new example. So what we need to do is make sure that we expose people who think that way. Do I criticize them? Everybody's entitled to their own opinion, okay?
Yeah.
It's just that when you're Secretary of State, then I think he shouldn't be Secretary of State if he can't distinguish between the security needs of Israel on the one hand and the security needs of our own country on the other. That's a real problem.
Yeah, I agree with you. All right, great insight there from Ray McGovern, former CIA analyst. Ray, thanks for joining us here on America Tonight.
Kate, you're most welcome.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare. Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to TaxHelpOnline.com. That's TaxHelpOnline.com.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org. You've thought about it for years. Well, the time is now. You need a secret bunker, and you need it deep and strong. Atlas Survival Shelter should be your first and only choice. The experts at Atlas can help you choose a shelter that has all the comforts of your home and is 11 times stronger than square box shelters. Call Atlas at 1-855-4-BUNKERS. 1-855-4-BUNKERS. Or visit IWantThatBunker.com. Atlas Survival Shelters. Better prepared than scared.
Second down and goal at the one. Dre in the backfield now with Mendenhall. Cardinals looking to punch it in, take the lead. Palmer under center takes the snap. Handoff, Mendenhall left side, pushing forward and in. Touchdown. The ball came out, but the ruling is a touchdown.
Lynch in the backfield. Here comes the blitz. Look out. Throws it outside. Lynch makes the catch, and he walks in.
First and 10 from the 27. Dalton back to throw. Dumps it off short. Caught by Bernard. Runs to the 20. 15,
oh,
10,
oh,
5. Touchdown! Bengals! Giovanni Bernard stepping on the gas pedal. He drives a minivan, but he runs like a Maserati.
I'll tell you what.
Took it in for the score.
Now first down. Snap to Rodgers. Throws the left side. Nelson. Leaping
left.
And
wow. Touchdown! Folks, what an adjustment to the football on the back shoulder.
Jordy Nelson spinning high in the air to beat Bakari Rambo in the corner of the end zone. 15-yard touchdown play at 30-0 Green Bay. Here's Ryan looking to throw. There is Jones caught. 50, 40, Julio 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown Atlanta.
Holiday watches and hit at the 27, takes a giant bounce. He picks it up at the 18, scampers out of the 25-30. Holiday out of the 40-yard line. His features loose.
Midfield, here we go. Holiday steps out of the tackle. 25-20, 15-10, 5 to the house. Quinton Holiday, the dagger, an 82-yard punt return for a touchdown.
Stick a fork in him and turn him over, Dave. These New York Giants are done.
As they throw for Hopkins, who catches the ball in the end zone for a touchdown. On the right side, the Titans were offside. That's going to be the penalty, but they will review whether or not Hopkins got his feet down.
One man to the right. He'll work in the shotgun, the snap. DJ looks left, fires into the end zone. Got a man there. Touchdown! Stevie Johnson! Touchdown! Touchdown! He did it! He did it! E.J. Manuel did it all the way down the field! The extra point to tie it up coming up!
Oh, yeah. yeah, what a week in the NFL. Two down and another 15 to go. Good time to remind all of you listening to America tonight that we do our Nail the Score each and every week on our Wednesday into Thursday show in the third hour for three segments. It's this easy. You just have to call once we've established the game of the week. Tell us who you think is going to win the game and what you think the final score will be. And as I said, I know there's some of you who get tired of jumping up on your soapbox and ranting about politics, so you have to have a breather from all the nonsense. And so you partake in football of some sort. The week capped off with the Bengals taking down the Steelers, and boy, I think that had upset written all over it in the beginning. Pittsburgh 0-2 for the first time in forever, and there were all kinds of crazy records that are already starting to take shape. But who's really going to emerge in the end? I think still too early for that. Denver's looking pretty good. That's certainly for sure. And there are some other teams that look like they could be contenders in the end. Like, how about Seattle? Seattle with the record for the crowd noise so loud in that Sunday night game against San Francisco. San Francisco just trashed. And Coach Harbaugh looked like he swallowed a canary. He was so upset you could see it. But Guinness World Records marks Seattle down for the largest stadium. It was a crazy, crazy, crazy crowd. They truly were loud. The decibel reading when they sacked the San Francisco quarterback, Colin Kaepernick, in the first quarter was 131.9 decibels. The previous record was 131.76, and that was set back in 2011 in Turkey. So that's cool. Guinness World Records. That's it. They're in the record books. They own it now, at least for a short time anyway. Matt, you watched those games. It was another crazy weekend, huh? How about it? The Jets to me absolutely look like garbage. And I think there's a couple teams where you could kind of put that label on them. But I would say that it's too early to call a Super Bowl for anyone. What do you think?
I think it wouldn't be too soon for the Seattle Seahawks, though. That team looks like an absolutely dominant team, and they're still, you know, not clicking on all cylinders, and they destroyed San Francisco on Sunday night.
Oh, they did. I was watching that game, and they killed them. And so the crowd was crazy. It wasn't a surprise, like I said, that they set that record, because the crowd was so into it. And Harbaugh looked humiliated.
And if you look at it, too, it's kind of strange, because week one, you have San Francisco absolutely throttling the Packers. The Packers coming back, throttling the Redskins, and then Seattle throttling the 49ers. And, I don't know, it's a little bit of a crazy week. My Vikings, of course, came up short once again. So that left a little bitter taste in my mouth. But it was a bit of a strange week, I think, in the NFL, and a lot of low-scoring games, too, other than you had the Seahawks. There's three big blowouts, and then a lot of, like, kind of lower-scoring games, because you had the Broncos destroying New York, Packers beating Redskins, as I said before, and then the Seahawks game, too. But other than that, a lot of more low-scoring games.
Yeah, there were some strange finishes. I always say this when we do Nail the Score. There is no symmetrical number, if you want to say that, or what are the typical football scores, because there aren't typical scores. Like the Bills beat the Panthers 24-23. You had the Matt mentioned his Vikings, 31-30 was the score in that one. The Vikings lost that one, and the Chiefs beat the Cowboys 17-16. So the Chiefs are off to a 2-0 start. And that's a kind of a strange score, too. The Chargers beat the Eagles 33-30. That's higher scoring. But there was a last-minute field goal that stunned the Eagles and all the fans that were there in the stadium. And it was a weird week for the low-scoring games. The Saints beat the Buccaneers 16-14. The Raiders beat the Jags 19-9. And this is just the beginning of things with the Capper. As I mentioned, the Cincinnati win over Pittsburgh, and that game was 20-30, so still pretty low. When you see some of these high flying affairs, it's just something to keep in mind that there are. That's why I always say that it's like lottery tickets. You know, you're circling numbers, you're coming up with numbers. There are no wrong answers in that, you know, in the game, because sometimes it is, sometimes it's oddball numbers. So I mentioned Harbaugh, and this was what's interesting. Richard Sherman, if you watched that Sunday night game, was the stud. And he called his former college coach after the Seahawks win over the 49ers on Sunday night, saying that Coach Jim Harbaugh didn't acknowledge him after the game. So, because Sherman had one of the Seahawks' three interceptions of Kaepernick, and he was asked by the NFL Network, they were carrying, they had guys there and they were covering the game. After the game, what he said to Harbaugh when he ran up to him at midfield and looked like he patted the coach on his backside, he said, "I told him good job, good game," but he didn't give him anything back. So he was in a good mood after that. And part of it is because there is kind of a little bit of a history between Harbaugh and Sherman, because of like I said, because of some past history. The last time, what was it, a 42-13 win in December in Seattle, and you know, there's some things that went back and forth between them. And of course, he played four seasons for Harbaugh at Stanford, but they left the school for the NFL. And when he was asked about, you know, Sherman as a player, he didn't grade him very high. And so then he kind of put it back in his face, I guess, after the fact that they slammed, as Matt said, they slammed them to the ground. And it was a rough loss for him on the other side of things, for sure. So once again, I want to remind everybody, don't forget about nail the score, because We do that thing each and every week throughout the football season. You don't have to be a football fan. It's one of our game things that we do here. Every once in a while, we pull it out so we can clear out the prize closet. So you could be a winner. By the way, I think this was a smart thing to do. The Washington Nationals postponed Monday night's game against the Braves because of the shooting at the Navy Yard. The game was rescheduled as part of a day-night doubleheader on Tuesday because it was such an emotional day. And, you know, people were just riveted by what was happening there. It was very, very wise of them to cancel that. I always like to say this. If you want to send us your thoughts, you can do that by simply emailing us at americatonight.net. Thanks, Matt Johnson. Great work on those highlights from the NFL, and all of you for listening to this version of America Tonight.
UtopiaSilver.com believes, as the Declaration of Independence states, that our rights come from God, not from government. The only lawful purpose of any government is to protect and secure the rights of the people, and no man or government has the authority to take what has been given to us by God. Among these rights are life, liberty, property, and the pursuit of happiness. And America's government has ceased to be the protector of liberty and of the people's God-given rights. But we the people can return America to greatness if we are willing to stand up and reassert our stolen rights. We ask that you join Utopia Silver in changing America's course in history. To save on healthcare and improve your health, call Utopia Silver at 888-213-4338. For a limited time, new customers will receive 50% off all colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338.